go speak at churches that have hired me based on my social media, this is what they tell me. Please don't change a thing. We are drawn to you because you're actually real, you know? So I've gotten all the advice and all the tips, and God bless them. I'm so thankful. I mean, you know, I want to be better, but in this one area, we're just, it's working. Yeah. It's working. Yeah. So why fix it?
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith and joined by my co-host Nick Runyon. And we have special guest Autumn Miles with us today. Autumn, if you would share a little bit with our audience who you are and what it is that you do.
My name is Autumn Miles. I do a lot. Okay, I'm a communicator of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whatever avenue he gives me, I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to be on that thing like crazy. So right now, I have a daily radio show. Social media is like home, you know, you just kind of sit there and you're just home on social media. Written two books. One's coming out pretty soon. I run a nonprofit organization for women. I have four children and been married for almost 14 years. So, and I, there's probably other stuff, but that's
So how old are the kids? What's the range?
So my daughter is 12, going on 27. Pray for me, all you pastors out there. My son is 9, going on 5. And I adopted my two youngest babies. One is 3. His name is Moses Ezekiel Miles. And the other one, she's going to be 3 in 8 weeks. We adopted them 10 weeks apart in Haven. So Grace, Jude, Moses, and Haven.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. You got a busy, and Nick has 5 kids, so he understands the world.
We've got a Grace as well.
You do? Yeah.
I've got 4 boys, though. She's the only girl.
That's why her name's Grace. Y'all need a Grace in your life. I got 2 boys. I'm like, I cannot take one more boy. I love them, God. They're amazing, but they're a lot. They're busy. We're trying to keep them alive until they turn 18.
Yeah. I buy a lot of like drywall patch in my house. So.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Texturing drywall.
Yes, my husband just replastered a lot of holes in our, we have pillars in the middle of our house and he had to replaster them. Because they play football. And we're like, no, out. Of course. Out of the house. And anyway, so that's me.
That's fun. That's fun. So you mentioned that you love, you described social media is home.
Yeah.
What, tell me what platforms you're on. What do you enjoy about social media? How do you manage? I mean, you're busy. You got 4 kids. Mm-hmm. You got a growing ministry. Mm-hmm. You got radio. You got books. You don't just have extra time. It doesn't sound like. So how do you do social media?
Okay. So I love it. You know, I started off, I think, 5 years ago. I've always been filled with the path ever since God changed my life. I can't shut up about him. Like, I have to tell the world about him. And it was several years ago when we started the ministry in about 2011, you know, Facebook started to become a thing and people were posting like, what are you feeling today? Where I was always feeling, you know, something amazing about the Lord was happening in my life. So I had a personal page back then. And would just share, like, God's really challenging me in faith, or really challenging me with my fear, or whatever it is. Yeah. And the ministry started to grow, and, you know, you get to a point where you want other people, other than just people you know, to hear your message. And so we switched over to a fan page at that point. Yeah. When we switched that over, I could not believe what happened. I did these super ghetto, like, I'm just not even, like, y'all are probably super professional or whatever. My videos are so ghetto, it's ridiculous. Like, I'll put myself, my iPhone in my face and talk about something the Lord has taught me that day. Listen, if I have a message that God is getting to me, he better get it through me. I feel like we have to steward everything the Holy Spirit of God is telling us, and we kind of box it up and think, this is for me. No, are you called to the Great Commission as a believer? The messages God gives you is for those people around you, and so it'll be my quiet time that morning. I'll do like a 7. I try to keep it under 10 because people are impatient these days. Yeah. But I will literally talk about a point that God just, I mean, he just beats me up about. Like, where are you in this area? I put it on there, and we just organically, people started to watch, share, tag their friends, and things like that. Comments. Yeah. And one of the things that I was just talking about is the inbox messages that we get. We have an entire team of people. I just put up a video last night, and I don't even know how many views it has. But our inbox, my staff will know because they get the notifications of like, my inbox totally blows up every time I do one of these videos. We had a message last night of a girl come in and say, I know you just did this video on fear. I have 3 kids. My youngest is 4 months old. I have an appointment for an abortion because I just found out I was pregnant. What do you think I should do? That is ministry. Yep. That is ministry from someone that would never, she probably would never step into any church whatsoever, but she'll click my link on my video and she'll watch it. So, when I saw the hole and how, who is caring for these people that will never come into a church? They're not, they don't know celebrities. They don't know pastors. They're just the girl on the street that just found herself pregnant and she's got an abortion appointment. She's scared about going. Who's reaching those people? Well, I'm going to fill that void, you know, and that's what we've done with social media.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So how, I love too, I think if just practically for pastors, that you didn't wait till you had a big professional camera set up. You just took what God gave you, right? For, you know, that's sitting in everybody's pocket. And so this is going to be my pulpit to be whoever God is going to push this out through the technology. That's amazing.
I think we do such a disservice thinking that we have to have it all beautifully manicured. Yep. I have been personally contacted by producers in the video industry that I'm sure are really important, okay? And they will tell me, could you please hold the camera back a couple of feet? Like I'm just, I just want to give you some tips because I'm 30 years in and, you know, I got all my experience. I had someone that is the CEO of a major network, I won't even tell you their name, message me on Facebook to give me tips on how to do my selfie videos. And politely we had to say, listen, I do them with no makeup on. I mean, I'm a girly girl. This is a podcast. You don't know what I look like. I'm a girly girl. No makeup. Haven't showered that day. My hair's up in the, like, the bomb top knot. And I pull out my phone and I do them. We do have the resources to overproduce. Mm-hmm. However, when I go speak at churches that have hired me based on my social media, this is what they tell me. Yep. Please don't change a thing.
Yep.
We are drawn to you because you're actually real, you know? So I've gotten all these tips and God bless them. I'm so thankful. I mean, you know, I want to be better, but in this one area, we're just, it's working.
Yep.
It's working. Yep. So why fix it?
Is there a certain demographic that you found you have most specifically reached on social media?
I mean, I go after the women, you know, we do have a lot of men actually that follow along. My demographic is going to be your 22 to about 50. That's my sweet spot with women. Yeah. I mean, they love the lashes and they love the nails and stuff like that. And they tell us a lot. But I didn't set out to reach a specific group. God gave me my demographic. Yeah. I didn't say we are going to go after, this is our 10-year marketing plan.
Yeah.
I wish I was that smart. I'm not. I just followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and God gave us our demographic.
Yeah. And then platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, where are you engaging?
I mean,
most ministry fruits out of this.
A lot of the younger generation is on Instagram, and I love it. I try to keep that personal, but in the last couple of months, we've really ministried that up a lot, okay? but Facebook is really, I feel like it's not just the millennials.
Yeah.
It's not just the younger people because I love the millennials and I have a heart for them and they follow along. Okay. But Facebook kind of reaches everybody. And so that's where most people have a Facebook and an Instagram. Twitter, I'm just going to be honest. I have like probably 3 followers on Twitter. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just not on it. I'm not a sound bite person.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Jesus loves you and let me give you 3 paragraphs why.
Yep.
Or here's a picture of whatever and
I love, though, that you don't feel the need to be everywhere, that mm-hmm. you've picked where's the best platforms for you to engage that community that's developing around it, and that you're most natural and connected to. Is, as you look forward, where do you see making adjustments? Do you are you thinking forward? Because social media is changing all the time. Can you even think forward, or are you just kind of, you know, we're just going to maximize where we are and see where God leads it?
I mean, I think because of the, just the favor that he's given over the videos, people, like Facebook Live yeah. is an insanely amazing tool. I will tell my people, I'm going to be on Facebook Live in 5 minutes, and yeah. we have, you know, 10, 15,000 people log on and wow. watch me speak wow. from my heart. So I think with the new technology, I'm going to try it. Yeah. I think also with now, with the amount of favor God has given over these like super ghetto selfie videos, we're making a plan. I have a book coming out, okay. so there will be more of a marketing side of it.
Yep.
However, it's me. You know, they get me. They don't yep. get a, you know, really produced side yep. of me, and that's why they follow along. So yep. I want to give them what they like and why they started following in the first place. But of course, we definitely have a plan for the next couple of years to grow it. Yes. We want to grow.
Just keep growing.
This is more. Social media yep. is growing. We got to be there.
Yep.
Our churches have to be there.
Yep.
Our ministries have to be there
yep.
to meet the demand.
Yep. So as you, so you started in, you know, you just put up your phone and started recording, and God has just blessed and expanded. How do you manage? You can't personally respond to all the messages. You talked about mm-hmm. how you have a volunteer that is, you know, you have people doing ministry. How do you manage what you do from a because this is what the tension pastors have is mm-hmm. I'll hear all the time, pastors don't have time for social media. In some ways, they don't have that. They you almost don't have enough time not to do social media mm-hmm. If you really want to expand or increase your impact and influence. But how do you manage that yourself? What is your involvement, and what do you outsource? I say outsource, hand off. To other people to kind of support the ministry?
We have a team. Yeah. I think it is a bad steward of the platforms that God has given us mm-hmm. to say, I don't have time for social media. Yeah. This is a mission field. Mm-hmm. I mean, Billy Graham just passed away. He reached a ton of people through what worked when he was doing the yeah. conferences. This is how we reach people today. Our leaders and our pastors have to get in the mind, in the frame of mind that this is, it's not just conferences. Mm-hmm. It's not just Sunday morning. This is another avenue to win people for Christ because they're desperately hungry. We have a team. Yeah. I did it myself. Actually, I've never done it myself. I'll okay. tell you that.
Okay.
I have never, I totally just lied. I didn't mean to. I have never done it all myself.
Okay.
We started off, I think we had two
okay.
that were responding
yep.
to yep. messages. Yep. And now I think we have eight people that's
awesome.
That they are assigned a time
yep.
that in that time frame they have to respond to every message. And let me tell you why that is important. Mm-hmm. Every comment is liked or responded to. Every message that we get is responded to biblically.
Yes.
It is not my opinion. I have yep. nothing to say. Neither does anyone on my team. We're just not as smart as the Bible, right?
I love that.
Yep. It makes me, that will ask my opinion. We never, never front with our opinion because it's just not going to bring them life or an answer. We do not leave inbox unchecked. Every one of them is answered. And we get a lot. And the girls, sometimes it's like, you know, we have to take a break because it's so heavy what we're getting. But everything is responded to. And we accommodate the need. Listen, get an intern to help yes. you. Get someone that's dying to go into the ministry.
Yep.
Train them to answer these questions.
Yep.
It's amazing how much wisdom they gain from having to see what is in the world and how we are supposed to confront it with God's word.
Yep. So a pastor, and I appreciate you speaking this so boldly, because this is so encouraging for pastors because they overthink this.
Yeah.
How do I do this? How do you know? And I think the fear is, you mentioned an intern is an intern going to actually, you know, I think there's a business recently where an intern tweeted the wrong thing or they posted on your behalf. Have you had any messy situations with social media, and how do you?
Of course.
How do you navigate that?
Of course, they'll spell a word wrong.
Yeah.
Like use the wrong there.
Yeah.
Who does that not bug? You know, it's like you use the wrong there. Are you kidding me? You know, yeah. Absolutely. But there's grace for that. Listen, the people that listen and that are looking to our social media don't care if you're grammatically correct, if they're suicidal. Okay. The people that are looking for hope, that actually need it, that would never follow anyone famous, that would never walk into a church, they don't care if it's perfect. They want to know, what is, how is God going to help me? Is he actually there for me? And how do I find him? So, you know, I need him. We had someone the other night, and we have to call the authorities a lot, because we get domestic violence. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. We get that in our inbox a lot. We report it. We get suicidal stuff. We had threats a little while ago that we had to report to the authorities. But just a couple days ago, someone was going to kill themselves. Wow. They don't care how, beautiful your quote is. Yep. They don't care if it rhymes, okay? They want to know, sorry, am I being too bold for you guys? They want to know, is God actually attached to this person, or is she in this for her name and for her fame? Yep. And we're just not. Mm. We're just not.
That's so good.
Are you surprised, or is your team surprised? For those that haven't had this experience, like, tell us about what's coming through that channel. I mean, these private messages are deep. You've already shared a couple of things.
Oh, it's crazy.
But like, how do you, for somebody that's not quite there, but knows that that's a ministry avenue, like what can you tell our listeners to say, just dive in, because it's desperately needed right now.
Please come help me. That's what I would say. I mean, there's a lot of people that are doing this. I would say are you asking like?
Well, it's easy to be sensational about it. And I don't want to be overly dramatic about the type of messages that I'm sure flooding in every single day. But like, just talk a little bit more about that to share some of the context. Like, when you make yourself available, people take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
So like, how is that a value that you've seen?
As far as the messages go, I'll just use domestic violence.
Okay.
One in four women are abused, one in seven men. It's a fact. Okay, you can find that statistic anywhere. A victim of domestic violence, and I just did a study with Lifeway on this last year, they will not come forward and report it unless they feel safe. They have to feel safe. So in a church setting, one in four is the statistic. There are a ton of people that you're sitting in church with, you don't even know, are suffering or have suffered from domestic violence. They will message me all day long because they see something in our ministry that has connected with them. It's those kind of messages that come in that they would, it's almost like, I'm not going to tell my best friend, but I'll tell a total stranger, that I see the Lord in and I see hope in. It's those kind of messages and those kind of people that won't walk up to a pastor and say, I'm addicted to pornography.
Right.
I just want you to know that. Okay. Like, who's going to say that? But they'll connect with you on a one-on-one basis, in a private setting that we've set up.
How long do you think people are watching or engaging with your content before they kind of take that step and say, hey, I've got something I want to talk about?
It's interesting. We had a couple people last night that messaged us and they're like, oh my gosh, I just liked your page. I can't believe you put this up. This is exactly what I needed right this second. And then we'll have people that just, they kind of, they're stalkers. They just kind of stalk you for a month or two or three. We had one girl, and I know she's super loyal because she likes, comments, shares, follows, tags me and everything for probably a year. And we got our first inbox message from her, I would say 3 weeks ago. And I saw it come through and I was so happy that she actually, and it was like a legit situation that we needed to help her with. We were able to talk to her. It varies on the need. Mm-hmm. It varies on the internal need of the soul, I think.
Is there one story from social media that stands out more than any other?
Oh my goodness. I can't give you just one story. I will tell you, one of the things we do with our ministry is called society groups. And so we have, like last month, we had 120 events and groups all over the country.
Yeah.
Amazing. Every one of those leaders have come from social media. And every one of those leaders would not commit to doing hosting a group in their church or home unless their lives have not been changed by our ministry. So we I can't give you just one. Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about the woman we saved her baby from abortion, absolutely, we've had that. The domestic violence victim that we connected with the shelter, yes, all day long. We've had multiple things of that. The wife of the cheating husband. I mean, too many times to count. The success, the fruit is there. What does God say? You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we got to get out there and we've got to do the work. We can't be intimidated by it. And we can't be so scared about what people think about us. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time they made fun of my lashes, you know, I would be a billionaire. But I am after the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they crucified him, I'm okay. You know? I love
that. So speaking of that, if you had a nickel for every time somebody criticizes your lashes, that's the other fear that
my lashes are fierce, by the way.
pastors have. But by going out there and going online, there's, you know, you get some of the most bizarre comments on YouTube.
Oh, totally.
Or some of these social networks. How do you process that? Because those can hurt and those can sting.
I mean, they do. I think I struggled more with it when I first started because I was like, what? How could you, you know, and then you just kind of develop a thick skin. Okay. Honestly, the worst comments I've gotten are from Christians.
I got
one the other day that was, I love Jesus so much. He's so awesome. He's everything to me. But girl, I cannot believe you're wearing so much lipstick. Mm. And you want to go back to them and say, let me talk to you about my Jesus who gives us freedom in Christ. You know, of course we didn't do that. And some of them, you know, they're hurting. So they're looking at something. Probably conviction has taken over and they're lashing out at me because conviction in the form of the word of God that I'm distributing really bothers them. So they lash out. I'm pretty okay with it now. I'm okay with it. I mean, I feel like if you're worried about, especially pastors, like, come on, pastors are... Yeah. Come on. They're like, God bless them. I love you pastors out there. I know that they are constantly criticized. You were just going to open up another avenue and it's for the good of the gospel.
Yep.
I can't hold back what I'm thinking or what they're going to think about me and cage the gospel of Christ. What? That's satanic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Well, for...
Sorry if I'm too bold.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. So as we wrap up this podcast, how should people connect with you? Should they find you on Facebook? Go to your website? What make sure pastors, ministry leaders?
I mean, autumnmiles.com is my website. You can find me on Facebook. We will respond to your message when you reach out to us.
Yeah.
You can also find me on Instagram as well. Autumnmiles.com is the email.
Yep, we'll put that in the show notes, so make sure you go find Autumn. Autumn, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.